Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
A reading from Proverbs 22:17-29, the words of the wise. Incline your ear and hear my words, and apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them with you. If all of them are ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I have made them known to you today. Yes, to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of admonition and knowledge to show you what is right and true, so that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. Make no friends with those given to anger, and do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Do not be one of those who gives pledges, who becomes surety for debts if you have nothing with which to pay. Why should your bed be taken from under you? Do not remove the ancient landmark that your ancestors set up. Do you see those who are skillful in their work? They will serve kings. They will not serve common people. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to thank Ramona for her stewardship sermon earlier. As much as you all love to hear stewardship sermons, I can say they are just as fun to preach. This week, I've been texting with a colleague who is preaching also on generosity. He is preaching from Mark, the story of the rich ruler who approaches Jesus and asks what is required, to which Jesus responds, of course, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And he said preaching from the Proverbs was brave, but I think preaching that sermon is brave. Hard to live, easy to preach. So it is with wisdom. And so here we are in our third week of a series called Word to the Wise. We started with two sermons on what is wisdom, exploring the beginning and the end of the book of Proverbs, both feminine personifications of wisdom. And today we find ourselves in between those two, in chapter 22, the beginning of a section called Words for Wisdom. And so we're here to reflect on this theme, Word to the Wise, be generous. Not feeling pretty excited about preaching a stewardship sermon, I went to Google to look for a parable that might make this text from Proverbs a little bit more fun to hear. And I want to share something with you that I found, a new parable, one I'd never read before. It's called A Story and a Song. A housewife knew a story. She also knew a song, but she kept them to herself and never told anyone the story, never sung the song to anyone. And so imprisoned deep within her, the story and the song, they were feeling rather choked. They wanted to release. They wanted to run away. And one day when the woman was sleeping with her mouth wide open, as some of us are prone to do, the story escaped. It fell out of her and took on the shape of a pair of shoes and sat outside the house. And while she was asleep with her mouth wide open, the song also escaped and took on the shape of a man's coat hung on a peg. When the woman's husband came home, he looked at the coat and he saw the pair of shoes, and he asked her, "Who is visiting?" And she said, "No one." "But whose coat and whose shoes are these?" he asked. "Well, I don't know," she replied. He wasn't satisfied with that answer. He was suspicious. And as you might imagine, their conversation that evening was quite unpleasant. And that unpleasantness grew to a quarrel. The husband flew into a rage, picked up his blanket, and went to the temple to sleep. The woman didn't understand what was happening, and so she laid herself down in her bed. And as she lay alone that night, she asked the same question over and over and over: whose coat and whose shoes are these? Baffled and unhappy, she put out the lamp by her bed and she went to sleep. All the lamp flames of the town, once they were put out, they used to come together in the temple at night, and they would gossip, sharing the stories of what was happening in their houses. And so on that night, late into the night, after the woman extinguished her lamp flame went to the temple and joined the others there. And this one was late because she had stayed awake all night trying to figure out what was happening in her home. So the other lamps, they asked the latecomer, "Why are you so late tonight?" "At our house," the light said, "the couple quarreled late into the night." Well, why did they quarrel? The other lights wanted to know. Well, when the husband came home, a pair of shoes were in the veranda, and a man's coat somehow hung on a peg. And the husband asked, "Whose coat and whose shoes are these?" And the wife, she didn't know, and so they quarreled late into the night. Well, where did the coat and the shoes come from? The other lights asked. "Well, the lady of our house," said the flame. "She knows a story and a song, but she never tells the story, and she has never sung the song." And so the story and the song, they got suffocated inside. And so they got out, and they turned into a coat and a pair of shoes. They took revenge. And the woman doesn't even know. The husband, lying under his blanket in that same temple, heard the lamp's explanation, and his suspicions were cleared. When he went home, it was dawn, and he asked his wife about her story and about her song, but she had forgotten them because they left her. "What story? What song?" she asked. If I could summarize the parable in my own words, I would simply say, use it or lose it. These are wise words from a parable that comes to us from the other side of the world. It's called A Story and a Song, and it is an Indian folk tale which underscores the importance of sharing everything that we have. At least that's how I read it. And even though I found this story using Google, typing in things like parable about generosity, good introductions for a stewardship sermon, the deeper I went with this particular introduction, the more I discovered that the intended meaning of this folktale is that stories have to be told. And if they are not told, they will eventually find their way out and take revenge. Now it is beginning to sound like a family systems sermon, isn't it? Not a stewardship sermon. But anyway, it got the wheels turning as I began to think about what are the stories that we have, and are we telling them generously and wisely? I love how stories from other places and other times and other cultures can get our wheels turning in some creative ways. I'm not sure I would have thought about the importance of our stories, both individual and collective, as a treasure, a resource for us to steward wisely. You know, ours is not a culture that prioritizes and centralizes storytelling in such a way, but the stories we live and the ways in which we tell them are incredibly important. Because, you see, as people of faith, we are a people with a story. As people of faith, we are a people with a powerful story, one that grounds our very existence and purpose in the love of God, who is always redeeming, always transforming, always saving us from death, death in the small sense and death in the larger sense. We are people with a story. And our story is critically important because our story provides a counter-narrative to all the other stories that our culture is silently perpetuating. You see, our story reminds us that beauty and wealth and power are not our ultimate concern. Our story reminds us that hatred and violence and corruption and division and fear and prejudice will not win in the end. Instead, our story, which is also called the gospel, which also means good news, stubbornly insists that though trials may come in our lives, good will prevail over evil. Joy will reign over suffering. Life will triumph over death. Hope will end all despair. And love will have the final word in the end. Friends, that's a good story. That's good news, and I need to hear it every single day. So let's remember one thing today, and let that thing be: we are a people with a story, and we are a people with a story that needs to be told. Can we agree on that? Okay. Because, y'all, if our story is true, if we believe that our story is true, then we know without a shadow of a doubt that our story itself is a lifeline for our dying world. Our story is a breath of fresh air, a glimpse of ultimate liberation. And our story, not the one that we have created, but the one into which we have been adopted as children by the love of God, this story is a framework for a life rooted in wisdom. I'm not sure I would have thought about it that way today, if not for the parable. I'm not sure I would have thought about the importance of our telling of our story, if not for the ancient Indian folktale. So I guess we should say, thank you, God, for the gift of other cultures. Thank you, God, for the many gifts that you give us and for the ways that other people and other stories help us to see you more fully. You know, sometimes we like to praise ourselves for our own sophistication. I'm guilty of that sometimes. Sometimes we like to praise ourselves for our own sophistication when it comes to appreciating other cultures and other people. We like to think that we are the most advanced, the most global, the most connected, the most educated society about other people around the world. But we are not the first to appreciate the wisdom found in other traditions. Take our reading for today, for example. The reading from Proverbs 22, it provides us with evidence that even the ancient Hebrew people found wisdom in their cross-cultural relationships. Sometimes when we think about the ancient Israelites, we allow the stories from the book of Joshua to dominate our imaginations when we think about how the ancient Israelites related to their global neighbors. So we remember the stories of divinely ordained war and invasion, where no man, woman, child, or livestock was allowed to live, much less intermingle for fear of contamination. Do you remember those stories? Those stories are the ones that tend to fill our minds and dominate our imaginations. But when we remember only those stories and allow them to overwhelm our theological minds with the idea that from the very beginning, there has only been one story. From the very beginning, there has only been one truth, only one revelation of divine wisdom on this great, big, beautiful earth. And fortunately for us, that one story happens to be our story. When we only remember that one part of the Hebrew Bible, our story becomes the only story. And so I suppose we shouldn't be too surprised when, given that trajectory, some well-meaning Christians still believe that God's activity in our world is restricted to our own understanding, our own closed and small theological systems. And if we believe that to be true, then we shouldn't be surprised when our outcomes look a lot like those found in the book of Joshua. Christian people accepting violence and war as reasonable ways to protect and maintain the world we have created for ourselves. I don't think that's wise. But the stories about the Israelites' relationships with their neighbors, found in Joshua, for example, are not the only stories. And they're not the only stories found in our Bibles. The reading from today provides us with a counter narrative, a different story. It employs the wisdom of an Egyptian wisdom text called Instruction of Amenemope. I had to space it out on my page. The Instruction of Amenemope. The Proverbs that we read today are part of a larger section of Proverbs, which rely heavily upon that Egyptian text. In other words, and in plain language, it's a copy. It's a copy of the Egyptian text that mimics its form and function, but the Hebrew author felt free to edit and expand upon and rearrange the Egyptian wisdom literature to make it fit the Hebrew context. In other words, the Proverbs that we read in 22 through 24 are Proverbs rooted in the wisdom of another ancient culture, giving us another story to tell about how our own ancestors in the faith learned from and perhaps even appreciated the wisdom of their foreign neighbors. Even though scholars have identified and agree upon that undeniable connection between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, they cannot agree on how the stories were shared. Some think maybe it happened in the royal courts when they got together and compared notes on best practices for communal living and monarchical leadership. But I like to think it was the grandmothers gathering around the community wells, just going to get water, you know, where all the best recipes got transmitted. I have to think there was some wisdom happening there too. The truth is, we will never know exactly how the meanings happened. We will never know how these two cultures came together, but one thing we can be sure of is that we are all the wiser because it happened. Surely the Hebrews weren't the only ones to benefit from the wisdom of their neighbors. We have to believe that the Egyptians benefited too. And I would like to hope that in the sharing of their stories, the human understanding of divine wisdom as revealed in two separate places, not just one, began to grow and expand. Each from its place of origin, impacted, shaped, transformed by interaction with the other. It's beautiful, right? I know we're running out of time. But before we leave this Proverbs text behind us and move on to other books in the Bible that also have words of wisdom to offer, before we leave Proverbs behind, there's one more thing that I feel like we need to mention. One more thing that needs to be said, because it is an emerging theme, not only in today's reading, but in the other readings in the 2 weeks before this one. In all of our readings so far from the book of Proverbs, righteousness and wisdom are connected to how we use our money. Righteousness and wisdom are connected not only to one another, but to how we use our money. It's so pertinent in today's reading that it's the very first saying in the list of 30. Verse 22, "Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate." In other words, the beginning of wisdom is in how we deal with the poor among us. "Do not take advantage of the poor," the proverb says, "for the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them." It's an ancient way of saying what liberation theologians are so keen to remind us, which is God is always on the side of the oppressed. God is always on the side of the poor, which means we have to ask ourselves an uncomfortable question, or maybe a whole slew of uncomfortable questions. Are we using what we have for the benefit of the whole? Are we using what we have for the welfare of all of our neighbors, but especially for the low, for the poor, for the hungry, the devastated, the lonely, the foreigner, the immigrant, the stranger, the one who Jesus calls the least among us? Are we using what we have for them? Are we taking good care of them? Both systemically, like as a society, and in our individual acts of charity? Are we doing the best we can? Are we using our resources to care for our neighbors, or are we using what we have to amass property and wealth and assurances for ourselves? Friends, I don't like the questions either. They make me uncomfortable, and they should. The choice is ours, really. And God allows us to make the choice ourselves. Remember, as Baptists, we believe in free will. But God also reminds us through the words of the Proverbs, through the stories of the Hebrew people, through ancient Indian folk tales, and through the life and witness of Jesus Christ, that the beginning of wisdom is found in expressions of generosity. If we want to be wise, we have to be generous. And if we want to grow in wisdom, guess what? We have to grow in generosity. It is a lifelong journey of faithful transformation as we learn from one another, from our neighbors, and from God just how much life there is to be found in giving it all away. So, word to the wise, be generous. Friends, there is so much to learn from these ancient readings, both canonical and non-canonical, which is to say, both from our religious tradition and from global traditions. But today, as we remember the story of a woman with a story and a song, may we remember the multiplicity of meanings found within it, and may we be compelled by the questions. Do we see that we ourselves are a people with a story and a song? A story of good news that God so loved the world, and a song of God's liberation for all who are suffering. Are we telling the story, and are we singing the song so that others may see just a tiny glimpse of God's expansive and ever-expanding love through our lives? Are we doing that? Are we singing? Are we telling? Are we living? Or are we keeping it all inside, where it suffocates? Beyond what we do with our voice, we have to ask ourselves another question. Are we sharing what we have? I don't know which question's harder, right? Are we telling the story? Are we singing the song? Or are we sharing what we have? All of it. Our time, our talent, and our money. Are we sharing it all so that the mission and ministry of Christ's church might continue. Are we sharing or are we holding back? Word to the wise, friends. Be generous. For the beginning of wisdom is found in generosity. Amen.